This is another edition of The More Abundant Life, a radio broadcast which features inspiring messages by Pastor Wendley Phipps. My name is Adrian Westney Jr. As your host for The More Abundant Life today, I'm glad that you've joined us, and I do hope that you will stay with us for our program today. Today we present message number 197 in our series. The title is Authority Over Devils. Because of the length of the message, we're going to dispense with our usual special music at this time and go right to the message. Please stay with us. I'm sure you're going to be blessed by what you hear today on The More Abundant Life.
My message this morning, authority over devils. Authority over devils. If you have your Bibles, go with me to the book of Matthew, chapter 17, verse 14. The Bible says, and I'm going to read from the clear word today, when they reached the base of the mountain, a man came running to Jesus, fell on his knees, and with heartbreaking emotion said, "Lord, have mercy on my son. He seems to have lost his mind." Sounds like something some parent has said at some point in their life. "He has no control over himself and often throws himself into the fire or jumps into the water. I brought him all the way here to have your disciples heal him, but they couldn't. Lord, the scribes and Pharisees are laughing at your disciples. They are scorning them and me." Then Jesus said quietly, "What am I going to do with such faithless disciples? Will I ever be able to teach them the proper use of faith?" Then he said to the man, "Bring your boy here. Let me see him." The demon threw the boy on the ground in front of Jesus. Then Jesus rebuked the demon and it left. May God add a blessing to the reading of his word today. Brothers and sisters, the disciples had cast out devils of almost every kind you could think of in the past. Wherever they went in their ministry, their testimony was, "Lord, even the devils are subject unto us." And you can find that in Luke 10, verse 17, if you have your Bibles. We're going to use our Bibles a little today. Look at that testimony from the disciples. Luke 10, the 70 returned with joy, saying, "Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name." With joy. They said, "Even the demons are subject to us." But this day, they encountered a devil like no other devil they had faced before. You see, in the demonic kingdom, there are some demons who are more powerful than others. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Matthew, chapter 12. What book did I say? Matthew, chapter 12. And look at verse 43. My Lord, The Bible says when the unclean spirit has gone out of a man, he passes through waterless places seeking rest, but he finds none. Then he says, I will return to my house from which I came. And when he comes, he finds it empty, swept, and put in order. Then he goes and brings with him seven other spirits more powerful, more evil than himself. And they enter and dwell there. Did you know that there are some demons more powerful than others? Even demons know that when they need help, there's some place to go. They know that there are demons that are stronger than themselves. But make no doubt about it, Satan is the chief devil.
All right.
He is the one most powerful. They called him in Latin the great diabolos. There is no other demon in Scripture for whom there are so many titles and names. He is called adversary, angel of the bottomless pit. He's called Beelzebub, Belial, father of lies, the great red dragon. He's called a lying spirit, murderer, old serpent, power of darkness, prince of this world, prince of devils, prince of the power of the air, ruler of the darkness of the world. Make no mistake, this commander in chief of the demonic world is powerful. In heaven, he was known as Lucifer. Among the demonic hosts, there is none like him. He stands first among the fallen stars of heaven. Imagine that there is even in hell a hierarchy of evil. The Bible tells us of this child who was deaf and dumb. This child's condition medically appeared to be epilepsy, aggravated by demonic possession. Around this child were scribes and cynics, those who like to sit around complaining and bringing accusation against those trying to do the will of God. And you still have scribes and Pharisees in God's church today. You know, saints who wait around for something to fail so they can have something to say. You know, the ones who are quick to rush and say, we told you so. They said to the disciples, your master only pretends to give you power to cast out devils. These devils rule among us and they rule among you. You cannot cast that devil out. Come on, Andrew, let's see you cast this one out. Come on, Philip, let's see what you got. Let's see what you can do. The disciples prayed and cried, but this demon resisted their efforts and showed no intentions of obeying their commands. Look at them, said the scribes. They are imposters. The father of the boy said to the disciples, I brought him to you because I knew you had the power to cast out devils. I brought him to you because I was convinced that you could heal him. Now I nor the crowd is sure whether you or your master can heal my boy. Oh, I wish I'd never brought my child to you to make a public spectacle of him like this. Well, maybe there's somebody here this morning who's saying like that, Father, and some of us have gone to dead churches and said, I brought my daughter here, but she didn't get a blessing. I brought my son, but he didn't get a blessing. I brought a neighbor, my friend. You know, it's a sad thing to bring a neighbor to church and the church is cold as ice. Some people trust me, if you're going to bring somebody, find a church that's filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. And take them to that church. Yeah. Don't take them to your church because that's where your membership is. Where is the power to cast out the demonic activity that is plaguing their lives? The disciples began saying to the people, we don't know what's wrong. We've done this many times before. Servant of the Lord tells us that as they went forth strong in faith, all the evil spirits had obeyed their word. Now, in the name of Christ, as they commanded the torturing spirit to leave this victim, the demon only mocked them with a fresh display of power. The disciples, unable to account for their defeat, felt that they were bringing dishonor upon themselves and their master. Lord, we cannot understand it. We don't know what's wrong. Church, this day, both angels of light and angels of darkness were pressing in to see this showdown between Michael and Lucifer. Step back, said the demons. You're going to see a real fight.
Yes, sir.
Clear out. We're about to find out who's got the stuff.
Yeah.
If Jesus is who he says he is, he'll be able to heal this young man. Church, there are some demons who are so confident in their power that they taunt the angels of God. Even the angels of God. Come on, they said. Come on. Bring it on. Preach at us. Let's see what you got. Pray at us. Do what you will. You can't run us away. We're not going anywhere. Do your best. Do your worst. We're not afraid of you. We have their soul under our control, and we're not letting go. Amazed at the mighty power of God. Thank you, Jesus, for his power.
Praise him.
I said, I'm amazed at the mighty power of God.
Yes.
Because the scriptures tell us, but then came Jesus.
Yes, sir.
You know, the one at whose name demons tremble.
Say so.
When he comes, the tide of battle always changes.
Yes,
when Jesus comes on the scene,
yes.
Just when the enemy begins the sound of victory, the premature sound of victory, just when their parade of triumph is about to begin, Jesus comes on the scene. And in the distance, we see Jesus coming, and he may be a man, but he was walking like a king, because you see, how can I say this? Something within him let him know that he was a commander in chief at one time or another. Jesus, something within him reminded him that he left the praise of heaven to face the scorn and ridicule of earth. He left magisterium for a manger. He left a crown to put sandal on his feet, turned his back on the light of eternity, set his heart to face the dark corridor of time. And when he walked into any place where evil had dominion, you knew right away that here was one who had traded in a scepter for a crown. Here was one who traded in his chariot for sandals. Here was one who turned from all that he possessed to wrestle our destiny away from the devil. And he may not have looked like much. Isaiah said, who hath believed this report? He shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. Have you ever seen a root?
Oh, yes, sir.
Out of dry ground.
Yeah.
He hath no form or comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should even desire him. Nothing in him that made him look like we want to put him up as our king and as our ruler. And yet he risked it all for us. He was the one who restored withered hands.
Yeah.
He was the one who healed lepers. He was the one who caused cripples to throw away their crutches. He was the one who opened blinded eyes and fed thousands with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And at first, the demons inside the young man began to tear and rend as if resisting the authority. One writer said that the demon resisted like a bad tenant whose lease had run out. He resisted like one who hates his landlord and began being just mean because he was being evicted. You ever seen somebody being evicted? Just angry. He's so angry, he wants to trash the place. Are you not listening to me? This demon was now commanded by Jesus to come out, but he didn't want to come out, so he was trying to trash the place. He wants to do all the damage he can do. He's been served notice. Normally, a tenant being evicted has 30 days. This demon knew he didn't have 30 seconds. His time was real short. He protested. He had no choice. Jesus had spoken. It almost seemed as though the devil wanted to kill the young man before he could be healed. Suddenly the young man became still and upon the ground, and he laid there as though he had died. Many in the crowd said, "He's dead, he's dead." And Jesus touched the young man and raised him to his feet and handed him to his father. But I'm here to tell you this morning, more than ever before, I'm beginning to see how demonic forces are having a heyday in this world. Demons, I don't know what they look like. I know they're spirit beings, but I know they're real. And I know they take delight in taking control of your mind. The most difficult place from which to uproot a demon is from the human mind. You're not listening to me. Of all the places that demons will put up a stiff fight and resistance is when they're being evicted from the human mind. You know, 7 times Jesus had to rebuke the demons who had taken control of Mary Magdalene. Are you aware of the demons that are struggling for the mastery of your life? They are of several different hierarchies. They are not playing with you. They are struggling for possession of your mind. And I confess to you that all I know of demons is that what the Bible and the spirit of prophecy says about them. First of all, I wanted you to know I've been shocked at the frequency and efficiency with which demons work. They are efficient. They are relentless. They don't give up. From the beginning of time, they've been successful. From the time that first demon got in Cain, made him kill his only brother Abel. I'm even shocked at how effective demons are with righteous people. It was a demon who got in Noah. Yes, Noah, the one who built the ark, the one who survived the flood. A demon got in him and made him get drunk and stripped him naked before his children. It was a demon who got in Lot and made him beget children by 2 of his own daughters. It was a demon who got in Jacob and made him steal. It's a demon that makes you lie and steal. It was a demon who got in Absalom and made him conspire to steal his father's throne. It was a demon who got in Ahab and jealous Jezebel and made them kill Naboth to take the vineyard. It was a demon who got in Hophni and Phinehas, the sons of Saul, and made them commit adultery in the house of God. In the house of God. It was a demon who got in Saul and made him despise David. It was a demon who got in Herod and made him take his own brother's wife and behead John the Baptist. It was a demon who got in Herod and made him deliver an oration in defiance of the God of heaven. It was a demon who got in Judas and made him sell Christ for 30 pieces of silver. And if he's gotten into your life, I came by here to tell you that Jesus still has authority over demons. How's he showing up in your life? In jealousy? Envy? Servant of God says, listen, when you have strife in your marriage, that is an evidence of demonic influence. A demon is seeking to wreck your marriage. You think it's the woman. The demon is in the woman because he controls the mind. He's controlling the woman's mind. The demon is in your husband. That's what has him being, looks like he's being led around by a ring in his nose. Help me, Jesus, today. Oh, but I came by to tell you. Jesus has authority over demons. And so if he's showing up in your life, if he's finding place in your spirit, if some demon is at work, they are real. I came by to tell you he's got authority over demons. And I heard an old black preacher say he is the beginning and the end. But he went on to say he's the beginner who began the beginning. He still has authority. You know, black folks say things in an unusual way. This old preacher said he is the beginning before the beginning was begun. He is the beginning who did not begin to be. He did not start, for he had nowhere to come from. He does not stop, for he has no boundary line. He has nowhere to go, for he occupies the immensity of space. He does not have to look around, for his eyes are in every place. He did not become, he always is. He is older than time, younger than the future. He is what he was. He was what he is, and what he was and is, he will always be. He is the eternal Logos of eternity, and when 10 billion years have burned into the ashes of eternity, his face will still be beaming with the bliss of eternal youth. This is the one who has authority over demons. Because when Jesus stepped into the fray and said, "Bring that young man to me," it was over, it was finished. And I came by to tell you today, whatever demon is messing with your mind, whatever demon is messing with your life, you too, through Christ, can have dominion. You can have authority over demons. So in your heart, in your home, in your mind, if there is a place, if there is a situation, if there is an issue where some demon is having his way, how do you have authority? If you have your Bibles, go with me to James 4. Oh, I can't preach too long today. Listen, God is good. James 4. You want to know how to have dominion? Praise his holy name. James 4, verse 7. You know what the word of God says? The word of God says, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Now, God was working to help me understand this text. Because, you know, people come with what I call religious God talk. And they try to teach you how to oppose demons from their own thinking. Let me make something very clear. You can't fight the devil. Let me make it very clear. You can't bind him. You can't threaten him. The only thing you can do is submit yourself to God. The only thing you can do is resist him. How do you resist him? One minister said, in my ministry, I expect to show the devil that he is my enemy, and I expect that he will do his best to show me that he is mine.
All right.
Remember, to win the devil's hatred is not a badge of shame, it's a badge of honor.
Yes.
Resist him.
Mm-hmm.
Amen?
Amen?
Resist him.
Yes.
You will never gain a victory over the devil without some conflict.
Amen.
Resist him. Don't expect to go to heaven unharassed.
All right.
Don't expect to go to heaven unmolested.
Yeah.
If devils, Paul Bunyan once said, if devils did not oppose your path from earth to heaven, you would travel joyously, peacefully, safely. But because every one of your steps is challenged and contested, you can know that the progress you're making will bring honor to the name of God.
Yeah.
When the battle gets hot, don't give up. Don't give up when the demon is on you. How can I say it clearly today? One preacher said, don't, when you are hindered by the devil, when you're bothered by the demon, don't run, make him run. How do you resist him? Stay on your knees. Call on the name of Jesus. When Satan hinders you, remember that you serve a God who has authority over demons.
That brings us to the end of our message for today. I do hope that you enjoyed the message and that you understood it. If you would like to obtain a copy of today's message, you can do so by calling the Seabrook Church Office at 301-577-6342. The phone number again, 301-577-6342. Be sure to ask today for program number 197. That's program number 197, and that will give you the title Authority Over Devils. Until next time, my name is Adrian Westney, Jr. As always, I wish you God's richest blessings for this week. I do hope that you will join us again for another program. But until then, remember the words written in John 10, verse 10, where Jesus said, I came that you might have life, and that that life might be the more abundant life.
Give what's in your heart.